us as well. There's lots of great stories out there, and I'm sure that many of you have made great stories yesterday. But today we want to think about the greatest story that ever was. It's, you know, and as often as we think about it and as often as we hear it, it doesn't grow old. It's a story that never grows old either. But there's lots of good stories. I would like to compare the story of the church at Ephesus to another story that I read some time ago, and I've shared this before, but I was just looking through my stories and I found this again and I thought it would be interesting parallel. The story of Henry Brown. Henry Brown was born a slave in 1815, and he got married, and he had a wife and three children. He had three children. They were on a different plantation, different owner. And then sometime during when he was about, well, 48 is when he, how old was he? Anyhow, his wife was expecting their fourth child, and she and all of her children were sold into down the river, down to North Carolina, and he was in Richmond, Virginia. He didn't have such a bad life, but that was terribly hard on him, as you can imagine. And he devised a plan of escape, and he got someone that he knew to nail him into a box and ship him as dry goods up to Philadelphia, where it was a free state. And he underwent his journey with lots of trials. Somebody had carefully put on the box this side up, and it wasn't always done, and so sometimes he was standing on his head inside the box, and he said his eyeballs bulged and his veins on his neck stood out, and he just about died until somebody turned the box up and sat down on it, and he could rest again. But he had a couple of things to eat, and it was, you know, Richmond and Philadelphia is not that far for us today. We can drive that in a little bit of time, but then it took many hours, and he went by wagon and by boat and by train and another wagon till he finally got to where he wanted to be. Anyhow, long story of it is that it was successful. He got up to Philadelphia, and he got carried by wagon to a house. They took him inside and closed everything up and opened the box, and afraid of what they were going to find, and here he was. He rose up, quoting a psalm and holding out his hand to shake their hands, and he was very well. His rescue from slavery came by his courage, by his ingenuity, by his trust in some other person, and by providence. What else can you say? We were also born in slavery. We can also be freed from that, but it's not by our own courage or will or skillful imagination or anything like that. It's simply by our trust in the one who died to save us. It's a tremendous difference. Henry Box Brown is what he was known by this after his deliverance there in Philadelphia. His name was that of change there to include that box in there. But our salvation rests entirely on Christ. We sang that song, Jesus Christ is the one foundation. Two of the songs we sang this morning go beyond time into eternity. And that can be our experience if he is our Redeemer. So I would like to turn to the book of Ephesians and this story is such an unusual story also. A story that is such a unlikely beginning. This wicked city of Ephesus, and have some people there that heard not even the gospel story first. In Acts chapter 18, it was likely Apollos that was there and preached he baptized with the baptism of John. He preached as far as he knew. And there were 12 men that were there that had heard that and believed what Apollos had said. And on those 12 men came Paul. Paul came there in Acts chapter 19 and talked to them. And they were not only believers in what they had been told about John the Baptist and about the Old Testament scriptures and so on, but they also were open to more truth. And Paul said, have you, I'll just start reading here at verse 1 of chapter 19. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what were ye baptized? And he said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, and that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. So here we have, again, a group of 12 men. Jesus' disciples were 12, and here's another group of 12 men that were the beginning of the church at Ephesus. And Paul stayed there for a number of months with the Jews and the Gentiles both, and then the believers separated. They no longer were open to truth, and the believers left the ones that were just good enough there, and Paul continued to teach them for a couple of years, and they had some very interesting experiences there at the church at Ephesus. This is the story where people could bring handkerchiefs and so on, and Paul would bless them, and they would lay them on the sick folk, and they would be healed, there was one group of people that had tried to cast out evil spirits in the name of Paul, and ended up being beaten and bruised and, very bad situation for them. But in verse 20 it says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And it wasn't that they had more things, more scripture. It wasn't that they, the word of God was growing in their hearts, and it was having an influence in their life, and that's where it was growing and prevailing. And so now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. I'm sorry, I made a little roundabout there. But here I would just like to read the first chapter. And I would like for you to read with me one sentence starting in verse 3, and just pay attention to the period. And let's read this together. I'm going to read the first two verses here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's read this next sentence together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, and whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. I think those are just tremendous words, and Paul was just flowing with this greatness of Christ and what he had done. He was talking to people that knew what it was to worship, but they were worshiping something that was man-made and didn't account for anything. They were devout in their ways, but it wasn't a devotion of Christ. And so now here he's talking to people that are, and he uses this phrase that I think is so interesting here, that he has, in verse 4 it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Most of us can't get a grasp of eternity, future, but it's also very difficult to get a grasp of eternity before time. You know, we measure everything by time, and it's hard to understand what he's talking about before the foundation of the world. But, you know, Paul probably had he had a visitation of God that was special in some ways, and maybe he's just hinting at this here, I don't know. But he references it, our place in Christ and different places through here, that being being adopted as children to God, and we are to the praise of his glory, and he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Those are powerful scriptures that he uses to a people that were estranged from God for much of their life. Now here they are. I think it is the most beautiful story that has ever been told. That of redemption of the whole human race. And we can be a part of that into his, as we trust in Christ, the cornerstone. We are to the praise of his glory, and Paul's greeting as he starts, it's to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 15 he says, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I was really blessed last Sunday evening with Jason's topic on knowing God. And that is, that should be our heart cry of knowing him. And it was for Paul, even as advanced as he was in his Christian life. In Philippians, he said, that I may know him. That was his ultimate goal. And then here he's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In two of the songs that we sang this morning, we talked about the church being with Christ in glory, or at least it implied that. And so here in this scripture, we talk about God's people being the thought of God even before the foundation of the world. And the songs we sang, which are according to scripture, tell us about the church being with Christ at the end of time. So we have this whole stretch from before time, through time, to the end of time, eternity afterwards. And we can be with Christ, but Jesus is that foundation, and that's who we want to celebrate and commemorate and think about today. Let's bow our heads for prayer.